Captain Wayne Miller, who guides fishermen on the Mobile Tensaw Delta and keeps us apprised of the conditions out there. Captain Wayne, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great, Alan. How are you and Mike?
We're doing good. So I'm sure you're looking at the water today. So what's it look like today? And what do you?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm glad you mentioned the opening of dove season, because this weekend that'd be a real good idea to go dove hunting. And you know what we got? You know, obviously we just had a tremendous amount of rainfall associated with this, you know, hurricane, tropical depression, whatever you want to call it, that came up through here on us. So from the standpoint of what the rivers look like, you know, where we stand right now is, the Mobile, the berry reading today is about 5.5 feet, and they're forecasting it to go by Saturday up to about 7 feet. Mm. Now, you know, that doesn't sound extremely high, but when you consider the fact that typically this time of year, you know, our reading on that berry is around 2.5 to 3 feet, then that means across this entire lower end of the delta, we've got approximately, you know, 4 additional feet of water. So that gives you an idea about just the sheer volume is just astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason for that is a lot of that rain went up and curved around and really, you know, on a line north and south, you know, it moved directly north of us. And, you know, we just got a tremendous amount of water up, you know, between here and Montgomery. The Tom Bigby, the Coffeyville reading, Tuesday was about 2.5, almost 3 feet. And, by Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, it went to 20 feet. So that's just, you know, an indicator of how much water fell on the Tom side. And we saw that similar on the Alabama side too. So, you know what that means for us from the standpoint of the, you know, the bass fishing here on the Delta, you know, it's going to really slow things down. Obviously, going to be a lot of dirty water coming down, but, you know, probably even more so than the water being dirty, muddy, you know, there's going to be a lot of trash. When you see that kind of jump on the rivers up in the middle and the upper Delta, you know, it flushes a lot of wood, you know, just a lot of stuff out of the, you know, those woods up there, and it brings it down the delta. So it's, you know, from a navigation standpoint, you know, over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be, you know, imperative that people, you know, when they get out on these rivers, really pay attention. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming down the river.
Well, Wayne, you have experienced so many of these storms over the years. What would you suggest, or what's going to be your tactic to find some fish if you're not going dove hunting?
Well, you know, like I say, Mike, you know, it's not going over 7 feet. So what you're going to have is you're not going to see the lakes like in the middle delta blow through the top end. And that's good. Because, you know, you'll still have some really good quality water, you know, in the middle sections of those lakes. So you can go in there. I mean, it'll still be a situation where, you know, you can catch some fish on top water and just fish regular summer patterns in some of the deeper lakes like Mifflin and, you know, and some of the lakes like McReynolds. You know, a lot of times, you know, this time of year when that water bumps up, you know, it gets that water all up in those trees, and you can catch a fish, you know, up around those trees where typically this time of year we wouldn't have any water. So, you know, I guess probably the negative associated with a high water event like that for this time of year is the fact that typically when you have that high water, it spreads the fish out. But at the same time, it gives you access to some areas that typically this time of year you wouldn't be able to fish.
Mm-hmm. You know, last time this happened, the last flood we had, I happened to go out a day or two after the flood happened, and I was just searching for some water to fish, and I went up Middle River. I'm going to tell everybody to stay away from that place. It was so bad, the logs and stuff in the water, I had to turn around and come out of there. I did find some fishable water in Mifflin, though. So there's a big difference from one to the other.
Yeah, it really is. And, And, you know, your primary rivers like Mobile, Middle, Tensaw, down around the middle there, the Tensaw won't be terrible.
Right.
But the Mobile and Middle River, if you're going to get out and run in them, I mean, it's almost like playing bumper cars.
Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous, and some of those logs are almost, you know, impossible to see until it's too late. So
the effect on the south end, and Mike, you know this as well as anybody. You know, we were seeing a pretty good push on the shrimp up into the, you know, the bay and into the delta, and you know that's going postpone that whole event, I think, you know, but we are just in the, you know, really the first week of September, so you know, I don't think it's going to throw us off that bad. Hopefully we won't get another bad storm, and kind of that shrimp bite will come on strong like it does most years in late September, early October.
All right, Wayne, thank you so much for keeping us all posted.
All right, guys, have a great one.
All right. Well, Mike, you're usually on the phone giving your report, but today you're sitting right here in the studio. So tell me what's happening along the causeway in the upper Mobile Bay, man.
Well, you know, we just had this horrible rain event, the tropical storm, semi-hurricane, and like Wayne was just describing, the water levels are going up. However, I did speak to Larry Scott of Scott's Landing. And even though they got flooded, they were quickly able to turn around and clean things up. And they were out in the bay this morning, and they caught some beautiful shrimp. He says he doesn't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
But prior to the storm, they were catching speckled trout and redfish all the way up to the Tensaw Blakely Point. And they weren't thick. They were kind of scattered, but that was kind of an early season push. And now this water is probably going to push them back down.
Yeah, it's coming this way down, you know, from the north this way. By Saturday, it'll probably be bad.
Right. So it's going to be, you know, if you can find yourself a protected river or a place like Theodore Canal, you might be able to find you some fish that weren't affected by this heavy rain. But prior to that, there was some good fishing going on. There was a lot of white trout being caught down at Theodore Canal, the channel leading to the main channel. I'm sure that's going to be affected. They were catching a lot of redfish and sheep's head out at Gilliard Island. And, you know, everything was moving along according to plan until old Gordo showed up.
You know, before this all happened, the crabs were plentiful along the causeway and in the bay. So, you know, just like shrimp, they may move south a little bit, right?
They may, but I tell you what, those crabs are pretty resourceful. They're on the bottom where the salt water is.
Yeah.
And like you say, prior to the storm, anybody that was targeting them was catching them.
Yeah, they were.
And they were some beautiful crabs, a lot of big male crabs. My crab connection tried to contact me. He had a load of big males he got right before the storm, and I had just bought a nice batch of shrimp. The shrimp were being caught, the eating size shrimp. So I had already made my decision, and I was kind of heartbroken, but I think we'll be okay in a little bit.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but I just wonder, you know, you've been through a lot of these floods too. Judging by how much rain we had, how long do you think the water will be, the conditions will be kind of floody?
I would say for us to get back to where we were, it's at least 10 days, to get back to where we were, and probably longer. But it all depends if we would get the freak, and it shouldn't be called freak, the north winds that you'll get in September to push that water down and out through the bay. It'll clear up a lot better, and the salinity will return a lot quicker.
You're looking forward to duck season, right?
Well, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is teal season.
Teal, yeah.
And I got a report that there were several teal seen, again, prior to the storm. And, you know, we got a story running about teal in this month's Great Days Outdoors, and I describe in the story how the tropical storm provides a wraparound effect. That motion of the winds will draw the north wind downward to the coast, and the teal will hop on board that north wind and come on down. And there's been quite a few of them spotted.
Now, teal hunting is I don't know a lot about it, but you do. So that's usually a short-lived hunt early in the morning, and then it's over with, right?
Right. It usually the action takes place pretty early, and if you hadn't got them, you know, by 9 o'clock, it's time to sack it up. Mm-hmm. But you know, like anything else, if you love it, you'll stay there as long as you have to.
Well, they're sort of teal. I understand are very fast and sort of like a dove shoot when it comes in.
Well, the teal aren't so likely to decoy. They like to fly by your decoy spread, so you need to be ready when they start heading towards you. And once they see your decoys, they'll come right towards them, but that doesn't mean they're going to land in them. They might just shoot right by and keep going to their intended destination. They're just a little curious, so it's a lot of flyby shooting.
Getting back to fishing in the bay and the causeway area, are there any particular areas after a flood or during flood conditions that you like to target?
I like to go up in the back of the creeks and take some live shrimp back there, and there's plenty of bass and white perch in those creeks.
Gotcha. All right. Captain Bobby Abrascato is going to fill us in on the conditions this weekend on Dauphin Island and the southern Mobile Bay. How you doing, Bobby?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm just kind of anxious to get back on the water. I hadn't had a chance to go since last Saturday, so I really don't have much of a report for you other than maybe some history, you know, based on what these, you know, minor storms have done in the past, you know. Mm-hmm. I can tell you through the weekend, or at least through Saturday, I was talking about last week, this shrimp push that we had coming through the Sound, and was lucky enough to kind of find that deal again on Friday and Saturday. Just caught a lot of fish, you know, around some moving shrimp. You know, the problem with that type of deal is it's kind of a feast or famine thing, and you know, when you find them, obviously that's the feast. But you can look around a little bit. If you stay on the move, they kind of give themselves away. There's, you know, we see bird schools a lot of times up in the Delta. Really, is some of the pictures when you say bird schools, you know, the picture of a tornado of gulls. It's not really like that. A lot of times down there, you're getting, you know, just a couple birds that are making a sudden dive, you know, and especially if there's a slick or two around there, a lot of times it turns out to be a wad of shrimp like that, and that's kind of what those fish are on right now, is just following those moving schools of shrimp. So, you know, even though you have to do some fishing, if you keep your eyes open for those signs, you can find those schools of fish like we've been doing, you know, pre-storm.
Bobby, are you having to wade through a lot of ladyfish when you get under those birds?
Not too bad. You know, you'll have, and that's a good question there, because it, you know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes you'll get a wad there that's got a lot of ladyfish in it. But even when you get into the trout, you know, with really thick trout, you're still going to probably catch one or two of them. But this year, you know, I hope I don't put the whammy on us, because usually by the time the cool weather gets around, they're out of here. But this has been one of the years that I've had the least, even though we've caught plenty of them, don't get me wrong, I've had the least problem with those, you know, eating up our bait and even the artificial bait. But it is definitely a concern, and if I start catching a lot of those, I pull off. It's, you know, you're just going to have to go through too much, you know, of a hassle and a mess and everything else to try and catch a few trout. But, you know, fortunately, last 2 weeks, it's been a lot cleaner with mostly trout.
Are you still running into a lot of Spanish around the rigs?
The rigs and the deep structure, more so in the bay than down in the Sound. The mackerel are real thick at the structure. I'm speaking pre-storm, but the northern line of rigs are bad. The ones to the south, the southern line down in the deep water rigs down towards Fort Morgan, those were real bad. You had better carry a lot of hooks or some steel leader. And the other place they're real bad is at the very south, the very western or southwestern end of the Sound, down on some of those reefs down there to the west, some of the new reefs down there that were holding tons of trout earlier this summer, those things are covered up with mackerel. But there's places you can avoid them. If you get a little further up into the Sound, they're not near, you're still going to catch a couple, but they're not nearly as bad as they are in some of those areas. The key to that seems to be that water clarity. When you get into that almost gulf-colored water, Mike, that super clear water, that seems to kind of be the line of where those mackerel are real bad. And I don't mind catching a few of them. Usually if I get cut off two or three times, I carry some real light steel leader and just put about 6 or 8 inches where your hook normally would have been. And a lot of times it doesn't affect the trout bite, and so instead of getting cut off, though, you start catching those mackerel.
Well, we all know that the when the freshwater, the floods happen, the salt water gets intruded by freshwater down that way, and the salt water sinks to the bottom of the water column. How do you adjust for that? What do you do to change your tactics?
Well, like this thing here, I'm hoping, I looked at the river forecast this morning, and it doesn't show Barry going over 7 feet. Now, of course, that could change.
Right.
But as long as it doesn't go over 7 feet, most of that fresh water goes out the center of the bay, the middle of the channel. It goes out of the channel, and it doesn't bother. But what you do, like you just said, that salt water being denser, a lot of times you can get, as long as it's not a huge column of fresh water, like you just said, there's a layer of fresh water down there, so you can move off to some deeper water like those rigs I was just talking about or wrecks and that sort of thing. And even though the water on top will look terrible, you'll have a layer of salt that the fish can live in, and you'll actually be sitting there in what looks really awful water catching trout. But so the key is to get off into a little bit deeper water.
Okay. Good idea, man. I appreciate the report, buddy.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too. All right, David Thornton is our connection to the Gulf State Pier, and it's a very popular place for folks all over the South to come to and spend some time on. And it's September and one of my favorite months for fishing. David, what do you think about this weekend?
It's one of my favorite times, too, Alan.
Yeah.
As long as we don't have any nasty weather like what we had this past week. But the weekend is shaping up really good. The water is already calming down and beginning to clear pretty good.
Good.
And even yesterday afternoon, they started catching redfish along the beaches again. And the water has cleared enough at the pier to where the Spanish mackerel have shown back up. One unusual thing, slightly, is they've been catching some nice-sized white trout out off the state pier. Bottom fishing, mostly, with some, you know, large sabiki rigs. And they've been catching some white trout over a pound at times, bottom fishing with bouncing those sabiki rigs off the bottom.
How about if somebody didn't have any sabiki rigs, David, what would you suggest they use to lure those white trout?
Oh, you know that answer, Mike. Cut bait is ideal. You know, a lot of times we'll start with a piece of dead shrimp, even fish bites. They'll hit that too. But if you catch a small croaker, pinfish, a small white trout, cut it into strips about 3/4 of an inch wide and about 2 inches long are just ideal. And especially with those double hook rigs, you know, bottom fishing, and those white trout really do sock them.
Well, that sounds good. Any other species that are being caught down there besides white trout and some redfish?
Yeah, they've the water cleared enough to where they even caught a few pompano today.
Oh.
at the pier, and that's always a good sign that the water quality is there pretty good, and the Spanish mackerel are doing their thing again. I'm not sure how many of the little L-wise have shown back up around the pier, but as soon as they get the down lights, which they pulled for the storm, they'll get them back out, and they'll shine in the water, and they'll get the small bait fish around the pier again, and there should be even more Spanish and other fish, into the weekend as the water calms and gets even clearer.
Catching a pompano is always exciting. Those things are like little missiles. They run so fast, and that's a lot of fun. What is your favorite way to rig for a pompano?
This time of year, a lot of them are caught incidental to bottom fishing for other species like whiting, redfish, even guys that use live shrimp around the pier catch them occasionally fishing, targeting speckled trout. And that's, to me, this time of year, that's one of the better ways to go is a small bait like that. But this time of year, with so many small jacks in the water, you really want to go to artificials. This is a great time for jigging them. I love to do that this time of year, especially with this Silly Willy rig, or they call it a Doc's Goofy jig, where you have about a 3/4 ounce banana jig with a small teaser tied on to a large loop knot. The loop knot's about 8 to 10 inches long, and that fly rides up the loop when it sinks, and then when you bounce it along the bottom, it kind of comes back down closer to it. and it's sort of one of those dog trying to catch a car kind of thing. When the fish see that little fly bouncing in front of that, and they'll swoop down and grab the fly instead of the banana jig.
Well, David, you're talking about catching pompano, one of the best-eating fish there is, but one of the second-best-eating fish you hadn't mentioned at all, flounder. What's the story on flounder at the pier?
This is just the time of year, Mike, when they start moving. You know, you start seeing a few of the larger females start moving back out to the beach, plus some of the males, you know, will reach that 12-inch minimum, and people have been picking them up at, like, Perdido Pass. I've been hearing about a few, and a few at Little Lagoon and around the jetties at Fort Gaines. But it was so rough last week, that kind of shut that down, except for Perdido Pass. And they mostly use bull minnows, or they'll use a configuration on the pier we call a jig and strip.
Mm-hmm. Well, Little Lagoon sounds like a good place to target flounder in September to me. I love fishing that little place.
It is.
Yep. All right, David, you have a great weekend, buddy.
Y'all too. Good fishing.
All right, folks, let's take a trip up toward the northeast or northwest Alabama, Tennessee River below Wheeler and Pickwick in that area, and talk with my buddy Tony Cox. Tony, how you doing today?
Doing great. Finally getting a little rain. It's been awful dry up here. I know the rest of the state hasn't seen yet, but we're glad to see a little rain up here today.
Yeah, that tropical storm Gordon, I guess, is on its way through your area with some rain falling. So that's going to change things a little bit for you guys. Tell us where all you fish at, Tony.
Well, we're on the Tennessee River in Lauderdale County, Alabama. It's the very far northwest corner of the state.
Okay.
We actually border Wayne and Hardin County, Tennessee, and Iuka, Mississippi. The border of the states are actually out there in the middle of Pickwick. So we're fishing below either Wheeler Dam or Wilson Dam. We've got three lakes, the lower end of Wilson, or all of Wilson, the lower end of Wheeler and Pickwick lakes coming through here. So doing lakes and tail races.
Well, good deal. Do you target mainly bass, or what do you like?
We're doing the big money here on the Tennessee River, in this portion in particular, are smallmouth bass.
Okay.
We've had in the last 10 years or so, a resurgence of hydrilla, which has really helped our largemouth population size and numbers has gone up over the last 10 years, which is, you know, not the norm for an impoundment of this age, but it's been a blessing. We're not complaining.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that the hydrilla is coming back for y'all, and that does improve fishing conditions for lots of different species. So what do you think the weekend's going to hold for you? What are the smallmouth and the bass doing?
Well, you know, bad news and good news. You know, August was, you know, like always anywhere, particularly here, slow go, but as we're getting into September, the trajectory is really good. You know, water temperatures have dropped down from the upper 80s to the mid-80s, and we've started the annual drawdown of water levels to go towards winter pool. So the good news for us is that's bringing the grass mats near the surface, giving a few more topwater opportunities. So the big fish were really few and far between in the last month are starting to gang up a little bit. We're not in full-blown happy times of the fall feed, but we're getting there. Every day's a little bit better than the day before. Still a big shad bite. You know, the shad are really small, but they're going to get bigger and fatter as the fish start preying on them. So things are looking good.
Sounds like a good time to plan a trip up that way for a weekend or a week, or a vacation or something like that if you're an angler. September, later on this month, ought to be really good.
Yeah, our prime time here, for my business, I'm a fly fishing only guide, so I'm usually targeting the top of the water column.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, things are starting to improve steadily. For September and especially October, we'll be fishing the tops of the grass mats early, and then schooling bass, and then the tail races in the middle of the day. So there's a lot of variety here. Lots of ways to attack the water is the big advantage of coming up here.
And during that drawdown, or after that drawdown, it exposes a lot of structure you can target also, doesn't it?
Right. It does a lot of good things. It, you know, it makes boating a little sketchier.
Yeah.
But it does. It exposes that. It kind of defines the current seams.
Mm-hmm.
We do find a stump row, you know, lower water level, you know, the same flow passing over that lower water level is going to make the current seams a little more identifiable. And it, you know, makes the bait stack up and congregate and gives you some easy targets, easier to find targets on such a big body of water as we have.
And do you guide up there?
I do. I'm a fly fishing only guide, so I kind of do it the hard way. But
all right,
we've got lots of opportunities to do that. Right now, the best bet, as it says, top water on the grass. But fish are just like us; they want to be comfortable. So as the heat in the middle of the day, we're either going deep or going towards current, and I find myself going towards dams and doing white bass trips, striper trips. Headhunters are coming up here to look for big striper. That's still a thing right now.
Okay. All right, folks, if you want to book a trip with Tony, just call him at 256-762-9429. That's on the Tennessee River. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thanks, man. Tight lines, everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to visit with my good buddy, Captain Michael Walker, on Lake Martin in that area. How you doing, Michael?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing good. Now, you guys are still, y'all are specializing in striped bass up there, and Lake Martin holds some big ones. What's the conditions right now for the weekend?
It's actually pretty good. We actually did good over the holiday weekend. Still held up pretty decent with the traffic. Now, we had to get off the water a little quicker, just the amount of boats, and light window was a little shorter, but we're catching a lot of fish right now. It's loosened back up after a couple of days of people being off the water.
The tropical storm, did it come through that area, dump a lot of rain on you?
Yeah, I mean, had rain, a good amount of rain the other day, but, you know, we're fishing open water towards lower, and it really won't affect what we're doing anytime soon.
The stripers are usually found in really deep water up there. How deep are they? Are you catching them right now?
I mean, this year we're catching them a lot shallower than a typical summer. We're targeting them between 60 and 25 feet. Typically, they are deeper and are biting deeper right now. The water temperature and higher in the columns a little more suitable for them. So. They're range between 60 and 25.
When someone books a trip with you guys, let's say first daylight, you go out, how long do they usually stay out before they you got a boatload of fish?
I mean, right now we're telling people only to book four-hour trips.
Okay.
And you can extend your trip on the day of. The truth is we're going to catch a lot of fish early. Should have our limit before 4 hours, so... really just trying to tell people to book a four right now and then play the rest by ear.
Mm-hmm. You also guide some crappie fishing trips, and September is usually a transition month for crappie. It's just going to get better on into the fall. How are they doing now?
It's okay. Numbers are okay, but it's not great. Catching fish, but a lot of small fish. We're real close to getting to where the lake's going to have a couple weeks of slower fishing, and it seems like the crappie are a little bit already there.
Yeah, usually in October is a good time to book a trip on crappie up that way, right?
Yes, sir. This year, mid to later October should be fine.
Okay. Well, if someone wants to book a trip either for striped bass on Lake Martin or one of your crappie fishing trips for later on this year, how do we get in touch with you? Where do we find you?
You can look us up on the web at www.lakemartinstripers.com or give us a call at 205-362-8322.
All right. Sounds good. You have a great weekend. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Have a good one.